Good morning and welcome back to the KGNC Agribusiness News Hour. I am your host, Shannon Gray, and as I mentioned a moment ago, it is time now for our look at wheat. We do this weekly with Texas wheat producers, and today I have with me Stilly Fischbacher. Stilly, thanks for being back with us.
Yeah, good to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. And as always, especially this time of year, we start off with a crop condition report. I know that harvest is also in swing depending on where folks are. So tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, I'll start with our NAS numbers. They have us estimated statewide at 27% harvested. That's versus 12% last year. So that means we're ahead of schedule in terms of what they're seeing from the survey data. We've got 42% of our crop rated good to excellent and 21% poor to very poor. When you look at what those conditions were like this year versus at the same point last year, things get a little bit disappointing. So our index number for 2020 is 65, and that's compared to 80% last year. So some of those areas where we saw record yields and really good crop numbers coming in last year are going to be a little bit more disappointing. We know we've had several acres that have been hit by either freeze impacts or drought impacts, and so that's something we'll be watching closely as harvest continues. We do continue to get harvest reports out of Central Texas and even starting in the South Plains. Also, a large part of the Rolling Plains is underway right now and even reaching as far north as Oklahoma. So we do have a large part of the state harvesting at this point, but we're still not quite to the panhandle yet. So something that we'll be watching for in the coming weeks, whenever we get to local harvest here. We look at kind of crop projections. For the U.S., we're expecting a lower production number than what we saw last year, and that will put us in some estimates at a 3-year low on carryover stocks at the end of the marketing year. So that's something that should lend a little bit of support when we're marketing our wheat, but something to watch closely. Contrast that with what we're looking at for a world crop, and we are expecting a record supply of wheat in production for this year. And that's on the back of increased production in Russia, India, and Australia. So that would also be on the opposite side of that marketing and weigh on the market a little bit, just those ample supplies worldwide. So that's going to be interesting to watch that balance and what happens here with the U.S. crop. If we're able to get any type of market rally around lower supplies here at home, when we know that there is going to be that large supply worldwide.
All right, great. Yeah, so I mean, definitely looking at a big crop year around the world, it's going to be interesting to see how that pans out, especially with the trade agreements and things going on at the moment. And of course, we can't get away from the coronavirus. The Coronavirus Food Assistance Program, the application process has opened. What has Texas Wheat been doing or wheat organizations been doing to help in those efforts?
Sure. Well, I think the main point that our wheat producers need to know, and they're all aware of this, as sign-up is already open, like you mentioned, is that hard red winter and soft red winter, which are the two major classes grown in Texas, specifically hard red winter for our region, are not eligible. We did not meet the 5% threshold that USDA wrote into this program to trigger any type of payment on hard red winter wheat. It's something that Texas, as well as the National Association of Wheat Growers, have been very active in. As soon as we saw the initial announcement of the program and saw that 5% trigger, we started talking about the price volatility that we've seen in wheat. Even though you take the 2-week periods that USDA used in this program and you average out the price decline, wheat does not meet that 5% threshold. But if you look at different moments within that 3 to 4 month period, we lost a significant amount of value on the futures market. And specifically for hard red winter, we had a 3-week period where we lost 50 cents of our price. And if you're trying to market crop in the bin and you see that price tanking, you know you have a global pandemic and you're worried about it continuing to decline, you might have sold your wheat. And so there was an impact to our farmers, and that's what we've been trying to tell that story at USDA. As of the end of last week, we approved a letter and a notice of funding request that will be submitted to USDA related to covering all classes of wheat under the program. We hope that they will look through our economic justification and kind of the rationale why we think all wheat classes should be covered. But we thought it was important to submit that and make the case for wheat, as we felt like we were left out of this program. In addition to that, I think here at Texas Wheat and listening to our farmers and our board members, we're very interested in starting the discussion on some type of assistance or consideration for the 2020 crop. The CFAP program is very focused on 2019 wheat that was not marketed as of January 15th. And there's just not a lot of Texas wheat that would fit that category. And so we know that looking at where the markets are at and the possible implications, like you mentioned, with trade deals, China has been a big topic of discussion in the last couple of weeks and what's going to be happening with that phase one agreement. If that doesn't come through, we think that will be a big impact for wheat. So we're starting that discussion about the 2020 crop and what we think USDA and Congress should be looking at. We know we've had a couple rounds of market facilitation program payments recently, and we think that we should start considering that and looking at the numbers and the damage that we've seen to our wheat prices. So that's something that we also included in that letter to USDA and we'll be working on as a state and national organization. So that's kind of what we've been up to the past couple of weeks, but would encourage producers at this point to be contacting their local FSA office and starting that application process for the other crops that are eligible.
Wow. Yeah, that's, you just never know with those trigger amounts what's going to happen. And, you know, so many of our producers here in this area, they, you know, rotate crops. They aren't just solely one thing. And regardless, even if something else does trigger, it's still not going to offset the fact that wheat is struggling right now.
That's right. And we've had our prices below break-even level for multiple years. And so that's just kind of the just economic justification that we've been trying to put together and make sure that Washington, D.C. is aware of.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we, you know, we check in with you every week, and I'm sure you'll have more updates for us on that as it progresses. And just, got, you know, you want to be happy that they're giving assistance. And at the same time, it's just not a one size fits all.
That's right.
Well, Silly, I know with that, y'all do a lot of wheat tours, and right now with social distancing and whatnot, you've actually got some tours that are virtual.
That's right. So these resources have become available through Texas A&M AgriLife Extension. In lieu of in-person variety field days, I think it's really great that they've kind of modified their plans and been able to come up with some electronic resources for farmers. So just this past week, Texas A&M AgriLife put up three videos. They're available on YouTube and can be found from texaswheat.org. One with Jordan Bell, who talks through varieties. One with Dr. Jackie Rudd, who talks about the breeding program and the varieties that he's developed through that, as well as another video that covers crop stress on dryland wheat. All of these videos were done at the Bushland Research Station and then sometimes cover other locations as well. So definitely of interest to any producer who wants to kind of get a peek at the varieties and how they performed in that environment and hear that discussion that we would typically have at an in-person wheat field day. That's something that's been lacking this year is just the opportunity to get together and see those things in the field. So I think these videos are really well done and would be beneficial to farmers who are looking for that information. In addition, I think it tells a great story of kind of what we do here at the Texas Wheat Producers Board with our checkoff fund. And just here recently, we approved $304,000 in research funding. And a lot of that is dedicated to the breeding program and these variety trials. So if you're a producer who's interested in what the checkoff does for you and kind of the benefits and impacts you have through the research side of that, I think these videos tell that story as well. So we'll continue to feature those on texaswheat.org as well as on our Twitter and Facebook feeds, but definitely an interesting and useful resource for our farmers.
Yeah, absolutely. Stilly gave us a lot of great information today. As always, thanks for visiting.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Again, that's Stilly Fishbacher with the Texas Wheat Producers. We're taking another commercial break. When we come back, we have Stephanie Pruitt with the Texas Corn Producers. I'm KGNC Agribusiness News Director Shannon Gray.